might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
Just say, what is the best I can do with today? In fact, one of the mantras I use to live my life is the best I can with what I have on a given day. And so I'm going to do the best I can with my parish, with my unique talents that God has given me. And with that, I'm going to be a positive and fulfilled person.
Is there anything wrong with having a positive attitude? How about trying to be happy all the time? Welcome to another weekly visit from the Orthodox Christian Network called Come Receive the Light. I'm Mike Trout, and our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. You know, there's a lot of differing thoughts about how we maintain good, constructive mental health. I'm sure you've heard many of them. Personally, I believe that most of the differences are rooted in semantics, but there are genuine differences of opinion, and we're going to share our perspective today, grounded as always in what we believe Scripture, God's Word, has to say on the subject. As you listen, I'm sure you'll have your own thoughts, and we'd love to hear them or read them. We have a forum where you can interact with listeners and readers from around the world. It's called The Sounding, and you can find it on our website at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. Just click on the read link on our homepage.
Time is very precious for all of us because we know that we have a limited supply of it. You just cannot go back to the one who offers it and renew your contract.
That's the voice of Father William Chaganos, or Father Bill, as many knew him. This past Monday, at the age of 82, he fell asleep in the Lord after suffering a major stroke last December. When Father Bill started organizing Holy Apostles Greek Orthodox Church in Westchester, Illinois, a western suburb of Chicago, Dwight Eisenhower was president. Father Bill Chaganos, head of the Westchester Church since 1959, was one of the longest-serving priests in the Greek Orthodox metropolis, covering 58 parishes in Illinois, northern Indiana, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and parts of Missouri. He has been often heard on this particular broadcast, sharing his thoughts on a wide range of subjects. He also presented a regular podcast through the Orthodox Christian Network, and from one of those messages, we want to share his words as we remember him today. He's talking about Jesus' response to the rich young ruler when he asks, "What must I do to be saved?"
What am I going to do to enter the kingdom? We hear today very, very easily and calmly by many people, young and old, "Well, no one is perfect," as a kind of an alibi, a justification. What do you really expect of me? No one is perfect. The result oftentimes is anger, guilt, depression, disappointment. And most of us desire to depart from the liturgy on Sunday morning feeling real good about ourselves. I don't think there's one in here that can say he hasn't entered the liturgy today or at any other Sunday wanting to feel good about himself. Sometimes with those heavy burdens of life, the stresses, there's somebody to come and just to remove them, take them away from us. But when we do that, we're thinking only of what God can give us. This young man was perplexed. "Master, what can I do to enter the kingdom?" Religion sets high standards for us all and urges us to grow morally in our efforts to meet those standards. But religion tells us you could have done better. You should do better. I always emphasize that. The words today of the gospel are filled with words of encouragement, not condemnation. They are compliments to our ability to grow, not a kind of criticism of our tendency to make mistakes. Religion does condemn wrongdoing. It takes us to task for lying, for hurting people. But religion also tries to wash us clean from our blemishes, so that when we do leave the church on Sunday, if we come with the right frame of mind, "What can I do to enter the kingdom of God, the cleansing process begins every time you're here. Grace surrounds us everywhere. I hope you listen carefully to the words of St. Paul this morning, a beautiful lesson to the Corinthians and to us. St. Paul says that I am one of the greatest sinners, and I have done nothing to deserve what I have. It is only by God's grace that I am. Sometimes we use a statement with one another, we say, it is what it is. We try to discount things and to dismiss things like that, that it is what it is. But grace fills our lives with His love and begins to motivate us and to move us forward. Religion is not punitive. Some people believe that God is a punishing God, that He does bad things to good people. But it is a liberating offering to each of us. As the Old Testament says, every day new opportunities, fresh opportunities to be more the person that God wants us to be. Do you know the commandments? He asked the young man. And when Jesus completed the entire Decalogue, the young man said, I know all these. Can you imagine? I think he must have felt rather in an arrogant mood at that point, as if to say, what do you mean, do I know the commandments? Of course I know the commandments. So we ask ourselves, do we know the commandments? Do we know what God expects of us? Well, what did he say to him? If you know them, then son, go and do them. Live according to the knowledge that you possess. Be good. Do not just memorize what it means to be good. We may have learned to be ashamed of our imperfections. Our friends might bring that to our attention. We may have learned that at a very young age, even in the playground, playing with our playmates. Or saddest of all, we may have learned from our own religious leaders, from the Bible, from the stories that we've learned in Sunday school, and that God knows every secret in our heart. Nasty thing that we may do, everything that is secret, all of our thoughts that we have, and that one day we will stand before God and ask to be accountable for our whole life. Everything, even those thoughts that we've had.
And Father William Chaganos has done just that. His message continued, and when you go to our website at myocn.net, you can hear the full message by itself. Just click on the listen link on our homepage and select CRTL for Come Receive the Light. That's myocn.net. And now with our feature conversation for this week, here is our host, Father Christopher Metropoulos.
We have invited Father Stavros Akrotiranakis of St. John Greek Orthodox Church in Tampa, Florida, to be with us today to talk about the value of positive thinking and controlling our thoughts. This is going to be very interesting. Welcome, Father Stavros.
Hi, Father Chris. Nice to be with you again.
Father, you work with a lot of young people, and I think they're being bombarded with messages that inspire them to be happy all the time. There's even a happy song out, you know that.
Right.
But yet, depression is growing amongst our youth. Can anyone be happy all the time?
You know, it's not realistic to be happy all the time. The opposites give definition, so you know when it's light because you know what it's like when it's dark. You know, if you had, we know what a day is because we know what a night is. If we didn't have nights, then you wouldn't have days either. And so if you didn't ever have the feeling of sadness, you would never have the feeling of happiness. So it's unrealistic to feel happy all the time. Our Lord showed us the gamut of emotions. We saw our Lord full of joy, full of hope. We saw our Lord sad when he cried at the tomb of Lazarus, his friend. We saw the Lord frustrated in the temple when he turned over tables. We saw the Lord having all kinds of emotions, some of which were not necessarily positive ones. But he showed us that you can be a godly person even when your emotions aren't positive.
Well, the issue of just positively wishing bad things away doesn't necessarily work, correct?
Correct. And one of the things that I've thought of in my own life is the word happiness versus the word fulfillment. You know, in my way of defining these terms, in order to be happy, I need to have other people's approval. But in order to be fulfilled, I don't need to have anybody's approval.
Hmm.
You know, so for instance, let's say that everyone says, you know, Father, we like your car. All right, so I feel happy. But what if I know that I stole the car?
Hmm.
Then how can I be fulfilled? Everyone can say something positive about me, but in my own mind, I know that I'm a thief. On the other side, let's say everybody says, Father, your car is ugly. You know, I can still find some fulfillment there because I can say, well, I bought the car with my hard-earned money that I earned honestly, mm-hmm. and I can feel fulfilled even if other people aren't giving me positive comments on something.
So it's really the perspective and how we look at things, correct?
Correct. And, I mean, if you don't do well on something and everyone says, you know, you didn't do well, but you say in your own heart, I gave my best effort,
mm-hmm.
you can feel fulfilled. And so I have stopped thinking about the word happiness, and I work more for fulfillment in my life.
I like that.
You know, everyone's so worried about what they look like, you know, and that's a lot of our self-image is based on what we look like and what other people think that we look like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and I ask teenagers this question often. I say, you know, what's the most beautiful part of the human body? And after people make a few guesses, I say, you know, what the Bible says is that the eye is the lamp of the body.
Hmm.
The most beautiful part of the human body is the eye, because the eye is the gateway to everything else. The eye is the gateway to the heart and to the soul. And if the person, the Bible says, if your eye is sound, the rest of your body is sound. And if your eye is full of darkness, then the rest of your body is with darkness.
Hmm.
And so, you know, people can look at you and they can say what they wish for you. But when you look yourself in the eye, you know, the eye tells the truth, especially to yourself. So if my eye says, you know, I'm working hard and I'm honest and I'm making a good effort, but everybody else says, you know, bad things to me, I can still feel fulfilled. But if everyone says, you are, you know, the greatest thing that ever was, and I look myself in the eye and I know that I am a liar,
mm.
I know that I'm dishonest, I know that I'm not hardworking, that I'm lazy, that I cheat, then, I mean, who cares what everybody else
right.
says?
If you can't look at yourself
myself,
in the mirror, right?
And I'm, yeah. And on the other side, if I can look myself in the mirror and feel good, again, who cares what everybody else says? I look in the mirror and I'm like, I know that I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing right by God.
Well, that song is the Happy Song by Pharrell Williams. And I just went online while you and I are talking here. And it has been viewed on YouTube 612 million times.
Wow.
612 million times. So the Happy Song is just as happy as you are, but it's really about carving out who we're going to be and what is our essence, which is, we know, orthodoxy is very, very important here.
Mm-hmm.
You've been a fan of the scripture-based book, The Power of Positive Thinking. How powerful is positive thinking, Father?
A lot of times it's the difference between a successful and fulfilled life and an unsuccessful, unfulfilled life or outlook on something. The nice thing about the concept of positive thinking is that it's a personal choice. You don't need to come from a wealthy family. You don't have to have a college degree. You don't have to drive an expensive car. The ability to be positive is something that is innately in each one of us, and it's a choice that anyone can make at any time. And even if you're a negative person, you have the power to switch that at any point in your life and just say, I'm going to choose to be positive today. I'm going to choose to see the good in something. I'm going to choose to see the glass half full as opposed to half empty.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to try to find the good in everything.
But it's that personal choice that makes it, right? That's the flip switch.
Yes, but I mean, that's a good thing, because so many things in our life, we're relying on other people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have to, you know, rely on so many subjective things. I got to impress the coach so he'll play me in the baseball game, or I've got to impress the scholarship committee so I can get a scholarship. But the power to think positively resides with me and me alone.
And that's about self-esteem that comes from our families, that comes from who we are. It comes from our involvement in church, our involvement in youth programs. That self-esteem is critical, is it not, in the proper education and mentoring of young people today?
Absolutely. I mean, the thing is that a lot of our positive thinking is influenced by not only our family, but also the company we keep. I mean, if we're around people who are speaking negatively all the time about everybody, then we become addicted to that also. And if we can surround ourselves with people who are positive thinkers, then we are going to follow suit. And one of the greatest benefits of being an Orthodox Christian is that you go to church every Sunday and you get a powerful, positive message. Mm-hmm. You get positive thinking in the church. That the Lord has mercy on us, that the Lord forgives us, that the Lord's going to give us our daily bread, that we've seen the true light, we receive the Heavenly Spirit. I mean, there's so many positive things. You know, I'm with you always, now and forever, to the ages of ages.
Yeah.
You know, and that the kingdom of God is not just some far-off reality, but it's present in our life right now. I mean, what a great reason to go to church, if nothing else, just to get a positive message.
Father Stavros, we know that the devil is known as the great deceiver. If he can't destroy us physically, he will try to do it through our thoughts, with doubt, with fears, with jealousies. Can you speak more about the importance of struggling to keep our thoughts positive?
Well, I mean, obviously, the more that you're trying to be positive, the more that you're trying to be Christ-like, the more you can count on the devil coming and creating doubt and distraction. In fact, he is the master of doubt and distraction. Again, being able to have a mentor, whether it's your parents, a friend, your spiritual father, your parish priest, having someone that fills us with positive thoughts to counteract the negative thoughts that we get in the world. It's really important to have people like that in your life. We also have to accept that we have some limitations. Not everyone is going to be happy all the time, and it's okay to let out frustration and anger. There's a good, a healthy anger is a good thing. I mean, there are unhealthy ways to let out anger, obviously, but there are healthy ways to let out anger, to say that I'm disappointed, to say that I'm frustrated, to say that I need to do better, to say that you've disappointed me, and work through that in a Christian framework.
The book, The Power of Positive Thinking, references Philippians 4:13. Could you talk with us about that passage? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Does he say you can do anything? What's going on here?
You know, I have always known of this passage in the Bible, but I didn't really... It didn't really come to life for me until a couple years ago when I was struggling with a particular thing that was worrying me. And I was talking to a friend about it, and one day my friend came to church and gave me a little card with Philippians 4:13 on it and said to me, "Do you think that God wants you to fail?" And I said, "No, I don't think that God wants me to fail." And then my friend said, "Don't you think that God is going to come into your mind as you're dealing with this particular issue that you're struggling with, a particular scenario that is challenging for you?" And I said, "You know, when you say it that way, absolutely, absolutely, Christ is not going to let me down." And so I've kind of had this verse as one of the mantras I'm using in my life, that whatever the problem is, I can get through it with Christ's help. When I have Christ absent from the equation, many times I'm failing. When I'm bringing Christ into the equation and putting him at the forefront of my thoughts and my actions, very rarely am I failing. And what this passage means is I can do all things, not just some things. I can do all things that are good things through Christ, who is going to strengthen me to do those things. And who am I? I have to understand that I'm a child of God, that Christ put me here for specific reasons, and those things are positive things. He didn't put me here for destruction. He put me here to do something good with my life. In fact, one of the beautiful prayers we read in the Holy Unction service, it's the last prayer, where we pray that God didn't put us here for destruction, but to give glory to his name. And the Philippians 4:13 just puts that, again, right in the forefront of our minds. I can do all things, and I can do them through Christ. But as you asked, it doesn't mean I can do anything. You know, to do the un-Christ-like things, that's not what this passage
is. It's not a license
for
to do anything you want. I mean, there are limits to what you should or should not do.
No, and I read a book recently by Mariano Rivera, who is the future Hall of Fame pitcher for the Yankees, mm-hmm. and he was their closer, and he was in many high-leverage situations. And he uses Philippians 4:13 throughout his book. And I really was inspired by that, because here it was not just about baseball, but about a man's Christian faith. And he said, you know, I never prayed to God about the outcomes of things. I never said, let me get a strikeout here, or let us win the World Series there. He said, I always just prayed for wisdom and for safety. And to be able to do my best. And he said every time I went and took the mound, I had these thoughts in my mind. And, you know, I think about that with the Philippians 4:13. It's not a matter of, like, Lord, let me win and conquer. It's let me do my best and give me the wisdom to do the right thing and keep me safe.
All right, let's look at this, Father. Now, I'm sure we have people who are listening to us whose lives may be miserable. Parents out of work, parents divorced, they don't have friends at school, or it even seems that they don't have any talents. And we know that that's not the truth. Everyone does. But there are people who feel miserable right now. So how do we speak to those people about this?
Well, there are two things that come to mind. One is you talked about talents. And in Matthew 25, there is a parable that the Lord tells about giving talents to people. And in that parable, some got five, someone got two, someone got one, but no one got zero. And that's the thing that everyone has to understand. There's nobody out there who didn't get a talent. There's no one out there who doesn't have a gift. There's no one out there who doesn't have a potential to be something with their life and to give glory to God. Nobody. That passage is one of the most comforting passages in the entirety of Scripture, because it says everybody matters. If I can share something personal from my teenage years, you know, when I grew up, I wouldn't say I had very high self-esteem. I was a very good student. I was in church every Sunday. I was an altar boy. I never missed a Sunday of church. I never had any behavior problems. But my biggest struggle was self-esteem. I didn't have a lot of friends because I wasn't going to sell out and do things that I didn't think were morally correct. But the other thing I had is that I was born with a cleft lip and palate. And so, you know, I have some facial deformity, and people used to make fun of that. And, you know, it got to a point where, you know, I questioned my self-worth and whether, you know, God even loved me. And it kind of came to a head when I was 19 and had to have a surgery for a sports-related injury, and I lost the outlet that I had for my frustration, which was playing soccer, and I found out I needed the surgery and that I wasn't going to be able to play sports anymore, and it was devastating. In fact, I went into the operation thinking to myself, you know, Lord, if I don't wake up from this surgery, you know, that would be okay. I don't really know that I have much worth in the world anyway. And so I woke up from the surgery, and then I realized, you know, wow, my thought patterns are really not good ones. And I went and saw my priest for the first time as a 19-year-old, and I wish that I had done it when I was 13. It would have made a bigger difference in my life. But I sat down with my priest, and he gave me this book called When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Mm-hmm. And after the Bible, I have to say that's probably the most influential book I've ever read. And he said, he handed me the book, and he wrote something in the cover, which I still have, and it says, stop being a victim and start being a survivor. God does not want victims. God wants survivors. And that, combined with Philippians 4:13 that I've come to embrace in my 40s, has really set my life, you know, that God wants me to survive, and God's going to help me do that. If your life is miserable, start breaking down your life one day at a time. What can I get out of today? What can I do that's positive today? Don't look at the whole span of your life. Like, however am I going to be this thing in a year from now or a month from now? Just say, what is the best I can do with today? In fact, one of the mantras I use to live my life is the best I can with what I have on a given day. And every day I say, what are the possibilities that today offers me? And what can I do to make those things as positive as I can, the best that I can? You know, I'm so happy for you, Father Chris, that you have a radio show and that you have an ability to share your gift and your talent. I'm not going to ever have a radio show. I'm happy to be a guest on yours. Mm-hmm. So I can't say I want to do the best I can with what Father Chris has, because I don't have what Father Chris has. I have what Father Stavros has. And so I'm going to do the best I can with my parish, with my family, with my unique talents that God has given me. And with that, I'm going to be a positive and fulfilled person.
Father Stavros, this has been a great conversation. We know that the youth today have lots of stresses and anxieties with schoolwork and social settings. I've heard from many of them now that it is extremely competitive. What do you advise when it looks like everything could actually just be falling apart for these kids?
Well, I mean, one of the most pragmatic pieces of advice I've ever gotten is ask yourself, is this thing that I'm battling with going to matter a week from now, a month from now, a year from now, or will it even matter tomorrow? There are so many choices that we're confronted with every day, and I read somewhere that people make about 75 choices a day, and half of those choices aren't going to matter at all. I mean, it doesn't matter when you go to McDonald's, if you eat a burger or a chicken sandwich, in the big span of your life, it doesn't mean anything. And so many people forget that life is temporary, and they think that everything is all about now. You know, I got a bad grade on a test. You know, my life is over now. I mean, when you do something bad on a test and you're 15, I mean, when you're 25, you're not going to remember that. So what you want to do is, again, live life on a daily basis, knowing and trusting that God has a plan for you, and that Christ will help you do anything that's positive that you set your mind to. We're told in the Gospel of Matthew and again in Philippians about not being anxious for things, but to go by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to God, to make your request known to Him. And allow the peace of God, which is a peace that passes all of our understanding, let the peace of God guide your heart and guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. We read that in Philippians 4. And it's about just coming up with a mantra of yourself that promotes positive thought, reliance on Christ, fulfillment versus happiness, looks at life on a daily basis, appreciates talents that each of us has, and trust God that He's got a plan for every human life.
Father Stavros, thank you very much for being with us again today.
Thank you, Father Chris. Thanks for having me.
Did you catch all of those thoughts, all of those suggestions there at the end of the broadcast? Would you like to listen to this conversation again? You can do that very easily by going to our website at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. This is Come Receive the Light, a broadcast outreach of the Orthodox Christian Network. That's why we say myocn and then .net. I'm Mike Trout. Our host each week is Father Christopher Metropoulos. We're a nonprofit outreach. If you'd like to join with us, you can do that easily when you go to the website at myocn.net. Just click on the Donate Now button on the homepage. Join us next week at this same time and let your friends know about the broadcast. Pray for us, please. And remember to always have faith in what you listen to.